What's up, everybody? It's time for another episode of Hip Hop Soiree. You got me, DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And we have two things to talk about this week. We're not talking too much about news. Aside from this one, and this one's actually a big one, because I guess this one has people have been waiting for this for a long time, especially people who are Kanye fans and who are Joe Rogan fans, because I think it was 2 weeks ago we had Kanye West on the Joe Rogan Experience. And as you know, I'm not a huge fan of Joe Rogan. I don't listen to him too much, but I know that a lot of his podcasts are really, really long. Depending on who they're with, they can be like 5 hours. I think there's one that's like 5 or 6 hours. And Kanye's was about 3. And just a little under 3 hours. And he has a lot of stuff to say. I mean, that's one thing that's obvious. And so I wanted to talk with Poppy about things you thought that was interesting, maybe you thought things that... about his music, because he talks about a whole variety of things for 3 hours, just tons of stuff. I mean, the first thing one of the first things he talks about is how he, I don't know how it got to, but he explained that he was chosen by God to be the leader of the free world, and that's where it starts. Like somewhere in the beginning, it starts off that, and then just kind of goes from there, and he dives into like, his like. Spirituality and what's been going on with his change into being more spiritual. But probably, I guess there wasn't so much a lot about the music, you know, because we focused on the rap stuff. But like, what kind of caught your interest when you were listening to the Joe Rogan podcast?
I mean, I think one of the things that people have been criticizing him about is the whole shift to the Christianity faith that he has, mm-hmm. right? He kept mentioning his belief in God and like his purpose. He kept saying, God put me in a position to serve. And the greatest position I can serve at is, and he, correct me if I'm mistaken. He calls it the leader of the free world.
Yeah, right? That's what he said.
Because he even said he didn't like referring to it as the president. He said, they're a leader. I'm meant to be a leader. And he said he inevitably will win the election in 2024. So that, we all know he's an egomaniac.
Yeah.
Egotistical, narcissistic at times. Most of the time he is narcissistic. And in a weird way, I don't know. And maybe this is just because I'm a fan of Kanye, so maybe I'm being slightly biased. I always like have faith in him. I just want good music from him mostly, obviously. But I felt there was a sense of humility. I'm not saying he bragged about things at times, for sure. But I think that there was some air of humbleness about him, and he truly feels, whether he can or not, he feels he can serve the people in that capacity.
Yeah. He, like, a lot of the stuff that he said, like, again, it didn't sound, like, if you were to interview Kanye, like, 5 years ago, I think it'd be a very different podcast. Obviously, it'd be a different episode. He wouldn't talk about that stuff, and he'd be even more over the top. But this one, he wasn't, which I did like there.
5 years ago, you would have caught him on the complete opposite spectrum mm-hmm. of where he refers to himself as a god.
Yeah. So it's interesting that the switch that he's done. He, one thing that I that he talked about that caught my interest, because I remember he got a lot of flack because of it. And I always kind of, I think he just shouldn't have said the way that he said, was the whole thing about how he said slavery for 400 years. And he said, that sounds like a choice.
Yeah.
And he talks about that. He's like, there's context to what he was talking about. And if you actually heard that, or you saw the video, he talks about like, he wasn't referring to people are enslaved or that it continued for that. He was mostly talking about like that.
Surrender our will to.
Yeah.
Which and is so, materialistic stuff.
And that, and he was also talking about like that the African-Americans, the black people were like choosing to not go above, like, to rise up to what they need to be. And so he said they were still underneath like this, I don't know if you want to call it command or underneath a certain power, whatever. But he said, he tried to clarify that was what he was trying to say. Like they chose not to rise above because they chose not to do that. That he was saying that them complaining about being oppressed or being like that was their choice. Whether you agree with that or not, that's your opinion, but the way that he said, I guess the way that he first said it is what made people go like, what the freak? And people go crazy on him. But I mean, he explained it. He also explained like his thought process, but like, I can't remember the exact wording. Maybe you remember. He says like the way the ideas come to him is like a symphony.
Yeah, he says it's a symphony where you hear the strings, then you hear the brass, then you hear the woodwind instruments. And he says in order to answer a question, he has to state all of those things and give you a symphony before you hear the solid answer. And if you've ever listened to him talk in anything, he seems like he's sporadic, but at some, and I don't know if it's because I feel like I have also a non sequitur mindset, meaning my train of thought isn't always linear. I always have to bounce around till I get to a point. He's extreme in that concept, and I think he's very poorly focused at times. But I mean, it kind of makes sense. So what's your thought on the fact that Rogan, who's someone who consistently talks, actually listened to him for 30 minutes rant, his symphony, so to speak? Do you respect, because I know you're not the biggest Joe Rogan fan.
Well, the reason I don't respect him too much is just the way his positions on things, how he kind of like flip flop sometimes.
He's wishy-washy
when he's talking with some people, the way that I've seen it and the way that I've heard it. But this one, like, I don't think he was even wanting to give an opinion. He really just wanted to listen to Kanye. And this is like, okay, go join a podcast. So you can just tell me what you're thinking, basically. That's how I perceived this was. It was just Joe Rogan's, his opportunity to just listen to him and to really understand what this guy's all about. He's been criticized. He's been praised. He's had all these different, he's just on both extremes of everything. And he just wanted to know why.
Yeah, it's hard to talk about that podcast without getting political because it was very political.
Mm-hmm.
Kanye talked about the concept of the whole pandemic and people are wearing masks and being like very cautious about it. And he said that Planned Parenthood is responsible for killing 1,000 black babies a day. I don't know where he got that stat from or if it's even true. I can't believe that's a true stat.
He pulls stuff out of his butt. Like, anyone does that whenever they try to get stats. Like, they'll do that. Like, I know my brother, he does that.
I know. But, I mean, if you're planning on running for president, you should have some context behind what you say. Now, I'm sure there is a statistic that you can probably almost pretty much prove
right.
How many lives, if you're in that state of mind, have been lost to it. And he was just saying, like, if I'm the president, I'm not going to tell people how to think or do what. I'm going to serve the people. But he never really expanded on exactly how he would do that. He just has these philanthropic ideas or ideologies, but again, he doesn't have a plan of execution. And that might be strategic on his part for not sharing it, or he could just be blowing smoke out of his ass and he doesn't have a plan. He just says he does. But again, he assured victory in 2024, and I don't see that happening.
yeah, I mean, I can see it both ways. He's capable of both.
It's funny because people tease him, but I mean, we have someone in office who has no political background. And if you look from a business standpoint, he could arguably be more successful hit for hit on his business ventures than our current president, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's like people make fun of him. It's like, oh, he doesn't have any political background, so he has no business doing it. And there's someone who stepped into office without a political background and did it. So
there have been multiple people. Arnold Schwarzenegger did it.
For California?
Yeah, of all places.
Yeah, but
but. So,
and I mean, there's mayors as well, because wasn't that wrestler Kane a mayor for some sort of city?
Which
city was it? Was it in Wisconsin?
I think it was something like that, yeah.
I don't know. But, I mean, who knows? I don't think he's going to win anyways. He's too polarized. Like, most people, he rubs them. I don't know. There's a lot of parallels between him and the current president. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I don't know what he'll do or how. Yeah, I don't think he even get back.
I think the general population, I'll just say this. Rap is or hip-hop is an extremely controversial subject
mm-hmm.
for many different reasons. So I think he'd just lose a lot of votes on that premise alone.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a generally respected group of, there's not a group of people that generally respect it that are currently into politics that hold a ton of money. Not that he necessarily needs their money. He's a billionaire, but
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
I think the one part that I was like, oh, please don't talk about it. He was talking about his new shoes, the ones that look like Crocs. He's like, people want to be laceless. They don't want to have laces. They want to tie them up. So this is like the prototype. You see this? It's a shoe. It's ergonomic.
He removed the tongue because yeah. He said it felt weird at first, but he goes, we're not meant to have tongues on shoes because it blocks our, I don't know. I don't think he said chakra, but
he says, I don't know what
naturally
he said,
yeah. It blocks just, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah. So
he goes, it took me some time to get accustomed to this. And I'm a Kanye fan. I have a pair of Yeezys. I'm getting another pair, but those shoes are hideous.
Yeah. And
these alien foam looking shoes are terrible.
I was looking and I was like, I can't believe, I mean, Joe Rogan must have, I would have been laughed. Honestly, would have laughed at the way he was explaining it and just showing it. I was like,
I know you don't like Rogan very much, and I actually do like him. And I think one unique thing about him is he genuinely respects people.
Yeah.
So I think I've he literally that. Sat and listened to him, and even though some people were like, Kanye is out of his damn mind, Joe Rogan somehow found a way to like understand him. He's like, yeah, I get him. I don't know if he truly believes if he'll win, because that was actually a very important part in the podcast. I don't know if you caught onto it. He was saying, you know, if you win, and then he stops, Joe Rogan does, and he goes, when you win.
Yeah.
So he was kind of like buying into his whole mindset.
So he was like, I think it just fed to Kanye, be like, yeah, he knows. I'm convincing people.
Yeah.
Again, I don't know if he just did it just for
the hell of doing
it. Yeah. Again, he didn't talk too much about music, but I guess he talked about how the influence of the production of Jesus is King, Jesus is Born, like because of what he, of his like spiritual rebirth, of how it changed like the production of what was on that album. Because he's talking about like, it's not, I can't remember which ones he mentioned directly. It's like, it's not to this level of production, but it's this production level because that's what I was told it to be by God.
He used My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and Graduation, which are two notoriously... are, I think, his two notoriously best produced albums.
Mm-hmm.
The other interesting part is he has his Sunday service, worship services, right?
He has ambitions on like the hymns and like
so
the capacity of people.
It started in 2019.
Yeah.
And then he has his dream of building a stadium. His words, I believe, 200,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes, imagine 100,000 choir, like a choir of 100,000 people chanting it, and then like starting a university.
It's like glory.
Like a religious one.
He starts singing glory, then he goes, glory. I was like,
and like in his mind, it makes, and the funny thing is, if his music pans out the way it usually does, it probably is going to sound well. That was a complete rough draft prototype, early stages, but in his mind, I know the moment he gets to put that on wax, so to speak, I would imagine it sounds pretty cool. However, it's interesting, all these minds, the mindset he has, if he's going to go for president, he can't be doing this university thing at all. He's got to focus strictly on understanding things that a president has to know.
Yeah, he's trying to go from Getty University to Gospel University, and it's just...
I wonder who would back him. Like, what would his cabinet look like if he won? You know those what-ifs?
I don't even know. It'd be people that probably have never done anything in politics, and he's just like... Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know if he even has a circle of friends that are... that have backgrounds in that, like, that he would confide in to be on his side. But yeah. Anything else on Joe Rogan?
No, it's honestly a lot for 3 hours. It's very Kanye-esque. It can be overwhelming because, he doesn't get to a point for a whole 30 minutes. Not your thing, then read some sort of bullet point notes on it if someone can summarize. I'm sure there's a summary somewhere out there.
Yeah, there are some there. And if you like listening to Joe Rogan, like, how he, like... talks to them, like, is not really, he doesn't really do much. He just does little sentence here and there. So if you like how he interacts with guests, you probably won't like this one either, because he doesn't really do much.
Yeah, the interaction's very minimal.
Yeah, it's just Kanye. It's that which I was expecting. It's the Kanye show.
You do, yeah.
It's the Kanye West experience, not Joe Rogan on that one.
Yeah, I have nothing else to give on that one, though.
All right. So our next topic is going to be about featured artists. So I was talking to Poppy about this, and as we know, a lot of rap songs, they will have a lot of featured artists on there, mainly to like on a hook or to give a melody so people can like hum to. It's just very catchy, and it'll get them, and it'll make people think about the song, buy it, whatever.
Yeah, there's a reason it's called a hook. It's supposed to hook you to the song.
And so there's tons of artists that are featured because they're always with rap songs. And I just want to talk about like ones that like you instantly think of, like, oh, if this person was on, they're like 9 times out of 10 is a hit. And other people that like when they're on it, it just makes the song suck, or just when they try to make it work, it just flopped.
Yeah.
So one that I don't know how much you liked it or not. I guess because he was always in this guy was always in a lot of rap songs, and he it was always the same, and it wasn't like vocally like awe inspired. Like he didn't have like a wide range.
Talk about.
But it's Nate Dogg.
R.I.P. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That. In the era you and I grew up, yeah. It's inevitable to not mention him.
Yeah, and that's the first one that came into my mind. He was, I mean, he was featured with so many people. He was in 213. I love. He had like just that nice sultry voice, very deep, and it just
it's full. It's yeah. like a rich voice, and it, oddly, it's rich, but it's not overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. It's I don't think it's vocally inspiring and like oh like not Mariah Carey or Celine Dion level. You hear it though, and it fits perfectly in pretty much every song he's in.
Yeah,
you're right. 9 out of 10 songs, if not 10 out of 10 of his, spot on. You hear his hook, it's inevitable. It's almost a, if even if it's not a hit, it's just a solid good song.
Yeah, and it's funny, like he doesn't, like I said, he doesn't show a range. He usually stays within like this octave and doesn't go higher or lower. And then, I don't know if it's because he can, but it just works. That's where he is. Like,
he found his pocket.
Yeah, because I'm Fly. I love that song. His song.
Lying in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. That's a great yeah. song.
I love that song. I hear it and I'm just like, he makes it so good. Just right on it. I mean, it has Snoop Dogg on it too. Now, and PR, is it, I did it Warren G as well?
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, they're good on it too, but it's, his part is just.
It's melodic. It's mm-hmm. great. Another one that I think of is Anthony Hamilton.
Yes.
Most of his, usually if it doesn't work, it's not him. It's usually the artist he's with.
Mm-hmm.
But Anthony Hamilton has a lot of great songs because of his hooks. His voice is, he's like a very gospel-y, like rich sounding voice as well. Almost raspy, but in a good way.
Yeah, not like, whenever I think of raspy, I think Al Green. I guess
reverberate. Like, it reverberates. Yeah. Like, there's something there where, like, the vocal cords are, like, thick, and then they vibrate slightly. So you hear this very, just a very light amount of dissonance that works mm-hmm. well with the melody.
Yeah. He's a good one.
He's mostly an R&B singer, but again, he's on hooks, and I love it.
This one I think of, too. Again, in the late 2000s, he was in everything, and featuring everything was T-Pain.
T-Pain, inevitable hit maker. You put him on, chances are that song was a hit. He had so many good songs, I grew tired of him. Him with Wayne, because him and Wayne were on everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In like the mid to late 2000s, just every, you couldn't get by a year without hearing like 3 or 5 hits from them. Literally, they would just crank them out. And it, again, it was so, like, I didn't hate them. I'm just like, I'm tired of hearing you. I want to hear other stuff.
He's. I think one of my favorite ones is with Kanye. Good Life.
Good Life.
I love that one.
I love Kiss Kiss with Chris Brown.
Yeah. And I love and love it. I'm in Kiss Kiss Kiss.
I'm in love with a stripper. Granted, that's his song, so he's not like he wasn't sought out. That was actually his song, but
that was his song. He was in what's his name? I don't think neither of us like him. Dang it, what's his name? It's Low. Flo Rida. There you go.
I don't like Flo Rida.
I don't like him either, but he was on that hook and it just.
Yeah. And to me, that song is done poorly. That's, for me, that's an L. That's a loss for T-Pain. Uh-huh. I know how big the song is. Don't get me wrong. I just don't think it sounds good. No. Apple bottom, whatever. Jeans and the boots with the fur. It just sounds so monotonous. And it's monotone. And the guy can sing. I don't know if you guys have ever heard him not have autotune, because that's like his trademark, is his autotune. He has actually a really, really good voice. He can actually sing. And then, I don't know, I feel that was a wasted hook. It didn't show off his vocal ability, and his vocal ability, even with autotune, it just sounds good because he climbs to the higher notes, I guess, not mm-hmm. super high, lower notes, not super low, but there's some fluctuation in the voice.
Yeah, he does it very well. And if you watch some stuff on, like when he does acoustic, like he sings very well. But like it's just the autotune thing with just his thing, and they're just like, oh, that's T-Pain. I know who he is, and so. But yeah, but he was great. And did he produce any of those ones, or did they just come up with the hook on any of them? Because
I think he is a producer too.
Yeah,
I don't follow him too much. I just know a lot of his songs. But I should probably. I guess I could look into it because I really do respect him as an artist. He's honestly a brilliant artist.
So here's one. Here's a question. What featured artist you weren't expecting to be, not necessarily good, but you weren't expecting them to be on like a rap song, and you're just like, Huh.
And I'll go back really quickly. He's not exclusively a hook artist, but he has killer hooks. I would actually say he's the one that could rival Nate Dogg as far as hooks is Drake.
Okay.
Unequivocally, just phenomenal on pretty much every hook that he's on. The only hook I don't like from him that I've heard that I can remember, at least right now, at the top of my head, is Money to Blow.
Okay.
Money to Blow. That's all he does, and I don't like it.
Okay.
But you said what artist would be a hook artist, and I didn't think they would be?
Yeah, because like one that I can think of. Okay, so I don't like, I never said the name right. It's Ray Shremmerd. I don't like them.
I like them.
I don't like them.
I didn't like them at first, and they grew on me. They have a lot of good songs.
I tried, and I was like, I don't like them. But the guy, one of the guys, I think it's Swae Lee.
Swae Lee is the one that does.
So he does the hooks on other songs, and I was like, what the heck? This guy can sing.
Yeah. Unforgettable with French Montana. Ooh, that.
See, and I think that song. And so I was like, I was so surprised. I was like, dang, this guy's got a nice voice. And I was like, I honestly think he should stick to doing singing because I think he'd be a lot more successful. I think he just has that voice.
He's the one that actually sings mostly on their songs.
Yeah.
He does the chorus, and his brother, Jimmy, is the one that does like the verses typically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so when I first heard him, because I didn't listen to him too much. I can't say that I've given an album a try. Just the stuff that I've heard, and most of it's just like,
I know I've knocked on Nelly so much, cause, and I do have respect for him, right? His first two albums.
Well, yeah, Country fantastic. Grammar and Nelly, but yeah.
They're literally, to me, fantastic albums, but I didn't think he would sing, and what's that one? It was all a dream. I was thinking about her.
Just a dream.
Yeah. About me. I was like, I never imagined, growing up hearing him, that I'd hear him be this poppy, singy guy. Now he does like a lot of country crossovers too, and that pisses me off. They don't sound good to me, and maybe I'm biased. Okay, I can admit that, but it just doesn't sound good.
It's funny because like I can't really see him being in a country scene, but the funny and ironic thing is like he talked about being a country boy and like his rap would be like,
yeah.
But you don't think that.
But that's not his persona,
yeah.
Right? Like he has country grammar. That has nothing. I mean, yeah, he's from the country, sure, like that side of town, but the persona isn't cowboy hat, shit kickers, and a big belt.
Yeah.
I can't say. I mean, there's good things I can say about him, but not too many. Minaj is another one, I guess. She had that pop phase that she went through.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess she's not a hook artist. Maybe she is. Bees in the trap. I don't like that one. Super Bass.
She sings in a lot of them. Like in some of her songs, she sings the hook. She's
on a rap shit though. She's hard to beat. I'll say that much. I do like her. I just wish she would stay away from the pop stuff. But I mean, it's her. I'm not gonna judge too much. But as far as what I prefer, definitely not that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
To go back to Wayne, he went through his little rock phase, and then he had. I think he was under the Young Money label. Was that Kevin Rudolph guy?
Yeah.
Right, and they go "Let It Rock." Yeah, I did not like that one either. It just was corny.
The one that
the harmony was good, but I just couldn't get behind it. Wayne's World, Planet Rock. I mean, having this Kevin Rudolph guy who I guess honestly could sing, at least from what I heard on the song. I don't know if it's engineered to a point where, he sounds fantastic, but he's really garbage in life. I just couldn't get behind the little hooks and this little rock party anthem thing that they had going on.
One that I guess we kind of switched to people we don't like or don't think it worked.
Sorry,
fine.
I was like, made it that way.
As you were talking about, I don't like Fergie. I think Fergie, the one that comes to mind. I told you about this. I worked at a skating rink called Classic Skating, and these kids would want to request a song with Nelly featuring Fergie on it, and I think it's called Party, Big Partying or something like that, and I hated it. Like, first of all, Nelly was trying to make... I think he was trying to make his persona way big, and it wasn't working. Then her on it just made it just... It fell flat and just... Ugh. I did not like it at all. And it started before that. He had other feature artists. Again, they weren't bad. It was just weird. Who was it that was on over and over again? Was it Tim McGraw?
Yes.
That was so weird.
That one didn't work for me either.
No, it was just like... And the funny thing about that song is, like, Nelly... approached Tim McGraw with this song. He's like, man, like, this song is country. And Tim McGraw's like, no, it's not.
And then they, like, try to harmonize at the end. And it's just, I don't know. And
it's just funny because he's, like, singing, like, now I realize. And you hear Nelly go, woo.
Yeah, he just, does his ad-lib. And it's so out of place.
Yeah, it is. It's just.
And again, Nelly actually has some songs that have some excellent hooks, like with Kelly Rowland, Dilemma.
Yeah.
It's a top-notch song for sure. Another bad one is basically the both albums of R. Kelly with Jay-Z.
Mm-hmm. We were talking about that earlier.
Again, everyone knows I love Jay, but those albums are just not good. Not for me. On the bright note, I guess if you want to do good ones, Beyonce on hooks is pretty damn solid. Obviously, it's Queen B, but even with her husband, Jay, right? Upgrade You, phenomenal. Deja Vu, Drunk in Love, really good one. The hooks, she kills it.
Yeah, she does.
The chorus, I guess, but yeah.
She's really good on that. I remember when they redid... Like
they Drunk in Love in the club. That's not a club song, but they played it. I was there when they played it, and people were dancing to it. And I was sitting in the VIP looking around like, is this really happening? Drunk in Love. And people were... they were like slow grinding, but it felt weird.
Slow grinding and drunk... It's funny because it's not like... it's not a club song. Well,
but they played it at the club.
I just can't see, like, when I see the video, she's kind of like,
wiggling. She's on the beach and it's like nighttime, so it's dark, and it's a song that you just sing to and let it play out, right? To me, that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't know how you would do it in the club. Like I said, you can't really like.
It was like basically if you've ever seen Bob's Burgers and see Tina dance, just like, that's kind of like what it was. It's just it's the one where she like moves her hips and gyrates, like just moving. That's kind of what it was.
Oh my gosh, I wish I could have seen that. That's the best
analogy I could. Yeah, I saw that. I'm like, they're really playing this here. How are people going to dance to it? And they inevitably did. But I mean, you could have played Upgrade You. Let me upgrade you. Just. Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the success of songs mostly ride on the hooks.
Yeah.
Most of them, if not all. Especially on the radio.
Yeah, that's true. You want something catchy that's like short and like simple, and if it sings the melodies well, like.
Yeah, one-hit wonders, they're usually one-hit wonders because of the hook, right? Mm-hmm. Think of MC Hammer, Can't Touch This.
And touch this.
And then what was it? Was 2017 or 16? You had everyone hated him. And I hated that I liked the song, but Gucci Gang by Lil Pump.
I can't listen to that.
Gucci Gang. Like, I sang it myself right now. I hate myself for saying it. I like that song because it's so catchy. I like it.
I will say, I know he doesn't really sing too much. And I know I've told you I don't really like him. But I've kind of come around to some of his songs, especially when he's featured on his Future.
Yeah, he's hit and miss for me.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not consistent with him, but there's been some songs like, oh, like this is like really good. Like I said, I don't think he has the same.
He used to be a bona fide hit maker, so I wonder why people just went away from him.
I'm not sure.
Maybe people just are sick of all his baby mamas.
I mean, you're the one who's listened more to him than I have. Like, have you seen like a change in quality or a change in. Themes in his songs and albums?
Yeah, I think he just maybe ran out of stuff, or maybe he's so complacent. I don't know. I haven't actually followed him much for a while. He did the collab album with Drake, which was okay. I think the best collab album for me for the year is Young Thug with Chris Brown.
Yeah,
Chris Brown's an excellent hook artist too, I guess, if you want to put it that way. Chris Brown has a lot of great songs. I forget. Chris Brown is, as far as music goes, I'd say underrated.
Yeah. I think so. I think he, I mean, obviously. Like,
I think it's overshadowed because of his terrible decision once to hit Rihanna.
But, yeah.
I mean, aside from, if that hadn't happened, I feel he'd get a lot more props right now.
Yeah, I think so, too. Because
his music has always been solid since, I still preferred his earlier days. And it's because in his earlier days, that's kind of when I stopped liking R&B. So there were a few artists that I did, like Usher and Chris Brown, because they came after, like, Jodeci and Jagged Edge and all that. So I started drifting away from R&B because it got too corny for me.
Well, and R&B, what they consider R&B right now is not real R&B. Like that's a whole lot of time for another day. But yeah, like it's just I think they were trying to call The Weeknd's new album an R&B one, but it's like no. it's just not. Like, he may have, like, maybe some elements in it, and maybe the way that he sings and does stuff, which I can attest to. Yeah, he does have elements of it, but overall, that's not R&B.
Yeah.
It's just, so it's just interesting what how they categorize that now in the label R&B, when it's not what it is.
Yeah, and A Boogie With a Hoodie. To end on a better note, I guess, in regards to, because I know I mostly talked about hooks that didn't like, but A Boogie With a Hoodie is good. He has a lot of good hooks. I like his style. He's very unique. He's from Brooklyn. But he doesn't sound, because he's not, he raps, but he has a lot of unique ways of delivering on a hook. He switches up his style a lot, and I always respect that.
Okay. Okay. Let's talk about one more thing. Any last artists that come to mind?
For hooks?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's so many, and I thought of many before we started recording. Now that I'm on the mic, I'm like, I got a brain freeze.
I'm actually sad that I didn't mention this one. And it's Akon.
Oh.
I don't know how that didn't come up.
He owned the charts for a while. Yeah. Too. Similar to what T-Pain did. Uh-huh. Akon did it before.
And he is so good.
He really is.
Like, some people might say, like, you don't like his voice because, like, it's way high. But I think it worked for him. It worked for songs he was on. He sang good. Like, it didn't, like, when you heard him actually live, like, he hit those notes. Yeah, it's good.
Like, when he's singing Locked Up.
Locked up.
Whether you understand that lifestyle or not, yeah. You feel it with him, right?
Yeah, he can do those serious ones. He can do the club songs. He can do he does Lonely. Like,
Lonely. Everyone sang Lonely.
Mr. Lonely.
Everyone sang that. Belly Dancer was one. Mm-hmm. The one I don't like is Smack That with Eminem.
Smack That.
I do not like all that. On the floor. But he still makes it sound good. If you hear the music video, he goes,
yeah.
And he, like, makes his voice climb and drop, and, like, all without the help of any technology. Like, he just sings well, like just like you mentioned.
He's still doing stuff now. He
did stuff with Spanish artists. Yeah. He's done stuff with, like, Korean artists. He's mm-hmm. very inclusive in his music, and that's always something that I've always appreciated about him. He has a lot of music with Spanish artists, and, again, he just... Almost every single time it sounds really good.
Yeah, it does. And yeah, I think...
Yeah, shame on us for not mentioning that Akon.
I know,
literally,
I was just like...
Akon. Akon, coincidence, yeah. I think not.
Oh my gosh. All right, so I think that's going to be it for this episode. Before we go, we do have... Do you have any recommendations?
Yes, Light Up. It's Vivian Green, who's an R&B and soul singer. Again, some of these artists are actually coming out, like Summer Walker. I think I mentioned that last year. Mm-hmm. She had a really good R&B album. Ari Lennox, but this one specifically, Vivian Green with Ghostface Killah, my favorite Wu-Tang Clan member. It's called Light Up, and it's endearing because it's Ghostface, so you think this raw New York grimy guy, but he's talking about basically a girl and trying to getting her out on a date. Like, it starts off with him saying, here's a black dress, put it on, and I won't ruin it, but it's like a good story. He's always an excellent storyteller, so I'm not going to ruin it. Just go listen to it. Ghostface is hands down my favorite Wu-Tang Clan member. So anytime I see something with his name in it on a song, it's an automatic listen, him and Raekwon.
Okay, I'm going to have to listen to that. Mine is, I don't know if you knew, but Common came out with a new album today.
Yes.
It's called A Beautiful Revolution, I believe.
This is part two, though, because he came out with a part one last week.
No. Then I listened to part one then.
Okay.
This is part one, then I listened to then.
Hold, let me just double check that.
But yeah, double check that. But
I know he was coming out with multiple parts.
But in this one, he has a song called, I think, A Ride in My Head, which I really liked. He has one called Fallen, and I have to listen to it again because he says a line that something like saying, you're like a vaccine, I have to double check it or something like that. And I for whatever reason, I thought, I was like, what does he mean by that? Because I kept thinking like anti-vax or something like that, but I don't know. Because I have to listen to the song again to see what the context was of what he said before to get to that line. But I remember that one caught my attention like really well. I was like, what? Why is he saying that?
Yeah, I've gone back and forth with Common. Like, I loved him for a moment, and then there was a time where I didn't care for him, and I felt like it was just more his attitude. But I guess I could have misinterpreted his attitude.
This one is kind of...
It was last Friday it came out. It was A Beautiful Revolution Part 1.
Okay.
So we understand, obviously, with part one, there's likely going to be a part two.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, I mean, this one, I listened to the whole album just once. It's kind of more of like an easy listen type one, which...
It's him. He's like... Yeah. This was, I guess, I'll explain my issue with Common is he prides himself on not buying into the mainstream style or mentality. But he wants that level of success and recognition, but he still wants to stay underground as far as like his music. Like, you know what, does that make, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of tell in the music, like it's weird. It's like, it's an unbalance.
He wants Jay-Z's money without wanting to do hits because he feels like he sells his soul, right?
Yeah, and it's...
Which, I don't know why. And that bothered me for the long... I've gotten over it, and I don't know if he's still in that
mindset. He kind of has that...
That's how I interpreted it.
If you listen to it, it's kind of like that. Because at one point, he has like this song in the first... It's 5 minutes long. But the first minute, 18 seconds, is this random clear guitar solo type thing. Kind of almost jazzy, but it's boring. And it's just like, and then it comes with the drums, and it gets a little bit more like impactful, but it never like reaches like way ahead. It's like it's trying to, but it just can't get off the ground. It's weird.
It's like in the eras we grew up, like the emo kids who always wanted to be understood, and even if someone was understanding them, they just didn't want to be understood. If that makes any sense. And so for me, obviously, he had a lot of work because he's from Chicago, and Kanye and him kind of, and I don't know if they've worked a lot together since, but my interpretation is Kanye is like an artist, where people see like, yeah, he's a super artistic person. I think most people recognize that. And obviously, he's one of the most successful artists of all time, period, in any genre. And Common wants that, but he still wants to be like misunderstood and like, I don't know. I can't explain in my mind, but he wants to like perform to 100,000 people. So he can get the money out of 100,000, but he wants to be so unique that only 20,000 of those 100 are like, I really get him. And the other's like, he's so complex, he goes over my head. That's his mindset, or that's how I interpreted it.
It's like a hipster type of thing, and it bugs me.
Oh, there you go.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, this guy.
So, and I don't know. I don't know him personally, so that could be 100% unfair. That's just the vibe I always got from him. But there's a song on there with Lenny Kravitz. I think Lenny Kravitz, it's Riot on My Mind or something.
Yeah, that's the one I was talking about.
Okay, sorry. But and then Black Thought's on there, but I don't remember that song, sadly. I listened to it once. It's 7 tracks.
Yeah, and it has two. I think one, like, not. It kind of sounds like, it says called Intro.
It's just music that plays.
But there's another one where it's, I think it's called The Beautiful Revolution, where it's just people talking about a revolution that's beautiful. It's not really a song.
Yeah, he just wants to be a poet.
And I'm just like, what the heck? He's like, some of the stuff he talks about, like he said, it's interesting because he says revolution and love, the perfect couple. And I'm like, I don't think you know what a revolution is. Like revolution, like there's blood. Like, I mean, I understand. I get what you're trying to express, convey to people. But that word itself, all throughout history, it means that there's a radical change. Radical changes don't come without people's hands bloodied.
Listen, and I actually love his cadence of rap. He's phenomenal. In fact, one of my favorite hip hop verses, period, is a Common verse on a Game track on LAX, Angels. That verse is fantastic. I love his cadence. I love what he talks about. The metaphors. Fantastic, but again, I sometimes just struggle with him as an artist.
Yeah, no,
so
I understand.
Usually, I only like him as a feature artist or on albums. I'll pick like maybe 2 to 3 songs. There's not a single album of his that I love listening all the way through. Unfortunately,
I'm the same way. This one is the same. Like it's just, I mean, he has his like two protest, not protest, but like what's going on with like black people,
songs.
Current event songs. Two of them, and the other ones are just kind of thematic and different. Things that don't have to that don't pertain to those things, but I guess are inspired.
Yeah.
But like I said, if you want something to listen to in the background, I mean, I would put that on just kind of like.
Busta Rhymes came out with an album. They have Kendrick Lamar on an
album. I actually heard that one.
Has a lot of like attention.
That one, okay, so that one's weird. I don't want to spend too much time on it because we'll probably talk about it later. But I like that one because the beat and everything. When I first heard it, I was like, "Is this from Commons?" But it sounded better. Because I had it on like shuffle
from Jackson 5,
and I was like,
honey.
And I was looking, I was like, wait a minute, no, this is Busta Rhymes. I was like, what? And then Kendrick came out, I was like, what? I was like, dang,
yeah.
So again, the beginning like reminded me because it kind of fit the theme of Common,
Because
I wasn't looking like it was playing, but I was listening to it, I was like, oh, this is an interesting song. And I think, it's Jackson 5, but then I heard. I wasn't expecting Kendrick to be on. Then I was like, is that Kendrick? Is he on? Oh,
it's
this is a different
called Look Over Your Shoulder, and they say it's like this a great comeback from Kendrick because it's a solid verse.
Yeah, it is.
And I'd like to discuss, I guess, his potency or We have before several times.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to kind of dissect it a little bit more. And I guess his beefs. I do want to talk about that.
Yeah. So we'll have to do that another time.
I'll Be There is what they sample. I'm a sucker for samples. And I'll Be There is my absolute favorite Jackson 5 song. So that's what hooked me to the song. There. Yeah.
No, just good song. All right. Well, that's it for us. Thanks so much for listening. This is DJ Goose.
And Bobby.
And this is Hip Hop Soiree.